Blog Talk Radio.
I declare you will know the favor of the Lord and receive a harvest for your seed. And in due time, God will blow your mind with what he planted inside of you to bless the world as it blooms. A great work is faithful to perform. God is faithful to perform. Oh, he that hath begun a great work in you is faithful to perform it. God is faithful to perform it. So if you ever get discouraged, speak to yourself and say, God is doing a great work. He's doing a great work. He's doing a great work in me.
Good afternoon, everyone. We want to thank you for joining the Anointing for Gospel Center, the Anointed Women's Ministry, today on this September 29th. We thank you for taking your time. We just honor God and we thank God for who he is. And we thank God for even just inviting us into your life, into your space. We just wanted to say thank you for showing your love and your support and just taking the time with us again. We just want to say thank you. And with no further ado, we're just going to go into today's topic. And so today's topic is actually talking about the keys to your success. Pretty sure we've heard that so many times. There's so many different books and themes about different ways to be successful, no matter whether it be. And oftentimes we tend to associate it with outward materialistic accomplishments. And there's nothing wrong with that. Don't get me wrong. There is nothing wrong with those kinds of accomplishments or those kinds of success, whether it be academics, whether it be finances, whether it be family, whatever it is, I congratulate you in whatever means of success. But what I want to talk about today is, have we ever thought about it? I'm the first to raise my hand. Does success, can we measure that kind of success internally, inwardly, and yet value it the same way when we look, when we compare it to the amount of money in our bank account, when we can compare it to the level of education? Can we yet value success the same way when it's internal? And that's what I want to talk about today. And it's because, again, success is something that can be defined in the dictionary as accomplishment of one's goal. Now, that word one points to the individual. And a lot of the times when we look at the word success, I know for myself I've done this, where I would measure it or I would define it based upon somebody else's view of success instead of finding out what does success mean to me. How can I define it for my life? Because the way that other person is, that person's upbringing, that person's experiences, that person's desires, just because other people may have viewed me, and again, these are my experiences that I want to share. It was always viewed that out of me and another family member, it was no doubt, no question. Oh, Tracy's going to do great in school. She's going to go to college. She's going to do all these things. This is going to be great and successful. And I took on their definition of success for my life. And over 15 plus years later, I had finally came to the conclusion by the teachings of self-awareness. And we've talked about that. And that is very a good topic and endeavor to really dive into. But from that teaching, from my pastor, Chief Apostle Moore, that taught about the importance of self-awareness. It has many different dynamics that I've talked about several times on the Friday's broadcast. But what it did helped me to come into the truth of is my definition of success was the polar opposite to somebody else's definition of success. I didn't want to go to school. That's the reason why I would start and then something would quote unquote happen and then I would just fall off of it. Because the reality of it is that that was not my definition of success. And oftentimes the opposite could take place. We can gravitate to somebody else's definition of failure and allow that to be a bag that we carry with all the junk of what people have said, whether it could be indirectly. They don't give you the support or the attention. They don't give you the level of responsibility or the boost of confidence like they do your other siblings or other family members or other peers. So we take on their perception of our lives, their definition for us, and we carry it. But it's not until first come to recognize my definition of what success is. It has nothing to do with nobody else, but that first starts with self-awareness, like the definition of success, accomplishment of one's, of the individual's goals. What are your goals? What are your desires? What do you desire? If you're in a marriage, what do you, what is needed for the success of your marriage? If you are not a person who needs to have the affection, that's not something that you truly just don't need. You don't desire it. But just because somebody else has it, you view, okay, well, that's what makes success. But you have got to define what's for you and your marriage based upon you and your spouse, not nobody else's, because what works for them is great. But what works for you? You could be trying to push yourself into something and doing something that is out of your character because this is what you think is the way. Somebody said this is how you should do it. Somebody said that this is how you can have it. But that's great to take on the advice, but what is it about you? It's about the individual. And so, again, about finding out how we as individuals define success for us. Because we know the whole saying about no two people are alike, everyone is different, and why is it so easy that we can gravitate somebody else's definition and we wear it like the shoe fit us, flopping all over the place, corns and bunions all over the place, because it's not meant for us to wear them. Find out what size shoe you wear. Find out what size clothes you wear, because you're wearing stuff that ain't meant for you. And once you do that, then you can be able to see the success, because it starts with the awareness. It starts with you. Then you can be able to see the results of that. It's like a person who is in mathematics. You take a formula. You take the format to an equation. But if things have changed, life has changed, you're not going to get the same results. Because one formula may work for one person. It doesn't mean it's going to work for you. But then you wonder, why stuff ain't working? Why stuff seem to always be in a place of just not being successful? What? I'm doing everything that they say to do, but what's going on? First, take time to see how you define success. So with that in mind, I want to also go into these four different things that I've experienced, and maybe you have, maybe you haven't, but the different things that could hinder us. Cut us off. We can be doing everything we know to do. We could have identified what has been successful, and we're striving all we know to do. But then it seems like something has cut us off. What is that? And then looking back at my life, there was a few things that came to me, and it was familiar people. Familiar people. Sometimes that we have this desire. We see that, you know, our thinking is no longer the same. I'll never forget that when I used to be out going to clubs, and I remember my cousin came from out of town, and she wanted to go to a club and hang out. And at that point, I didn't realize my desire had changed. My thought process had changed towards all that. So because she wanted to come, she came in from out of state, and I said, oh, okay, I'll go. What I didn't realize, looking back, that that no longer was what I viewed as pleasure. Though it was something she viewed as pleasure and her definition of enjoying life, it was no longer my definition. I look back, I was the most closed person. I sat there the whole time. I held everyone's purse. I just was not interested. My thoughts had changed about it. My desires had begun to change about it, because when God begins to do something different in us, wants to bring us into a greater place, your thoughts are going to change. Your desires are going to change. It has nothing to do with something that you had anything to do with it. But when you start to begin to realize that there is a change, well, then you embrace the reality that not everybody is going to go along with you. And this is something that I was taught from the church I'm at now, the AFGC in Conyers, Georgia, and realizing, being accepting, not everybody is going to come with you. Not everybody is going to accept where you're going. Not everybody is there where you're at. And the reality of it is being able to accept where you're going and their choices. Because what's going to end up happening is that if you're not careful, you try to hold on to them. When conversations have changed, first of all, they're not even going to have to do anything. They're going to dismiss themselves from your life simply because they are not willing to go where you're going. But that's why in the very beginning of today's broadcast, it starts with self. But these are things that I did not know at that time that caused me to want to hold on to them, sacrificing what I know is right because of those people that I wanted to hold on to. I didn't want to let them go. I wanted to keep the relationships. I didn't want to have the hurt that I know would happen from this word being attached to them. That's something I've learned at church about attachment and detachment. And it does not mean because we detach from people or circumstances that we no longer love them. It doesn't mean that we no longer care for them. But remember, it's about oneself. I can't change their decision. I can't make them do what I may desire for them to do, because I see that this thing could be a help to them, that doing this could benefit them. But I have to be able to move on for me, because if not, I'm going to remain. I'm not going to be able to embrace the freedom and the success for my life because I'm trying to hold on to them. Now, it does not mean that detachment, again, that you don't love them, you don't like them, you don't care about them. It doesn't mean any of that. But what it does mean is that you're learning how to do what's best for you. And for me, just accepting their choice, it is a process. It does not happen overnight. But through the process, you'll be able to know how. But it first comes with making the choice for oneself. Because if you are trying to accomplish something, if you're trying to accomplish, whether it be mentally, physically, financially, spiritually, whether it be educationally, whatever it is, not everybody is going to want to go where you're going. But you have got to embrace it for yourself, because I guarantee you, people will hold you down. People can use words, actions, can even cause you to feel doubtful or insecure. That has happened with me, making me question. But once I have been taught that this is something that is not obscure, this is something that is reality. It happened. But you got to understand and embrace that truth. Not everybody is meant to go with you, but it's about learning how to adjust as the times change. And again, the second thing I want to mention is that unchanged circumstances. For example, You are doing everything you know to do. Let's say you're at a job. You have been there for almost 10 years. That's my story. Did everything I can. I was first one there. I helped every time it needed to be helped. I gave 110%. I was the first one there, the last one there. I was helping even when tasks didn't have nothing to do with me. From helping executive directors to helping providers to helping patients above and beyond and not boasting of anything about myself. But when you do everything you know to do and it seems like nothing has changed. Another day, another year. Like, what in the world? And then if I'm not careful like I was, you begin to question. Maybe I should go from that. Maybe I need to leave. Maybe I need to do something different. But one thing that I was told in that depth of that place was two things, was one thing and two choices. And it was, okay, my pastor, you have two choices. You can accept it and stay, or you can just move on. It's up to you. You have a choice. You can stay or you can go. Because sometimes when we are striving to do everything that we know to do, when we are giving our all, if we don't have that reassurance within us about the direction we can go or to go, we will find ourselves making a decision that we will soon regret. And God will always come in to affirm his direction in our lives. For example, there were many people who were faced with that same dilemma, and they made a choice to leave. And I would tell all of them when they would come to me, I said, look, that's great. If you're at peace with your decision, by all means, enjoy this next chapter in your life. And then some minutes later, I hear back. They regretted the decision. And I'm not saying leaving a job is going to be a regretful. It's about what is the definition to you. And also taking into account, sometimes when you put in the work and the effort, it's not always, it's about an investment for something that is greater. We may not always see it at that time because, remember, we're human. Sometimes when we do something, we're like, okay, you know, for example, we're typing on a computer. We put the whatever we're searching, you know, into the Google search bar, and we hit search. We immediately expect to get those results. If they don't happen instantly, what's the first thing we do? What's wrong? Why is it not coming up? We immediately react to that because when we are putting in the work, we are expecting the results. And I want to ensure you, in those unchanged circumstances, rest assured that if you have the peace despite of the fact that the situation has not changed, know that it's for something greater, because I can tell you and stand right now before you to say that it was for something greater. The benefits, the dynamics of where I'm at now, I would have never phantomed 5 years ago. To be honest, a year ago, even though I questioned at that time, why am I still here? I looked at everybody else who seemed to be flourishing and doing well, and I wondered why. Because what God was allowing me to invest in was something that I did not see. It was something that was greater, that was beyond my imagination. And the next thing I want to talk about is our thoughts. Sometimes we can allow our thoughts to cut in the way. How? Because sometimes people, this is a gift, has happened to me. You desire this change. You're just desiring to be able to grow and to evolve. You want to be able to do things for yourself. But if we're not careful, we can allow the thoughts within our own selves and even the thoughts of what we think other people are thinking, the thoughts of you can't change. Because, quote, unquote, this is who people know you to be. I remember a conversation where I was having with someone, and I remember in my mind, because I was so familiar, they were familiar with me. And in my mind, I was thinking to myself, this is the way that I would want to respond. But because I was so familiar in that place, I didn't say anything. I didn't do anything differently than what I expected or what was familiar for me in that situation. And understanding the importance, and also looking at it like this, I mentioned it before, our thoughts are so powerful. And I remember I learned this at church. What you think can get into your heart, and all of a sudden we start acting it. If you start thinking we can't do it, then we start believing we can't do it. And then we don't even put in an effort. We don't get up. We don't try. God said he'll bless you with a job. If you don't think they hire you, see, you don't believe it, and you're going to sit right there. That's the power of our thoughts. And if we're not careful, we'll continue to live by that. And especially the thought process of thinking that I can't be anything different. I can't grow. I can't be anything other than, because this is who people are familiar with me with. But in that, what also is very important to understand is that this is a thought that is projecting insecurity, the needing to feel validated. Also, it could be the fear of rejection and the actuality of the lack of confidence within ourselves. Because whatever is lacking, we're going to project it outwardly. So it's about, again, going back from the very beginning. Start with inwardly. Then when those thoughts come, you can immediately be like, no. As the word says, I pull down the strongholds to my imagination, to the obedience of Christ. Why? Because you have that authority to do so. He wouldn't have given it to us if we don't. And then I also want to go on actually to the book, I Win, I Am a Survivor. And it's coming out of chapter 10, page 166. And I'm going to make it quick because I know we only have a few minutes left. But these 5 points were something that really encouraged and blessed me. And it's coming on page 166. And it reads, resolve to set achievable goals for your future and exceed all your expectations. Meet every problem with confidence. Now, I want to stop there because something came to me today when I was at work, and it was, I had to read about, you know, a health condition. And so, for example, in reading that, I mean, we think of sometimes we would say, oh, God, I'm just so thankful and grateful for where I'm at, because you know what? Things could be different. And also, that is very true. But what encouraged me is, more, look, all of us have challenges in our lives. All of us have stuff and things that we're confronted with. But the way we handle it, the way we respond to it, that's what makes the outcome a success. Not based upon somebody else's view of it, but how we face that problem. And the key word that the author said, with confidence. And it reads on and it says, and don't be blindsided by the way things seem. Try the following techniques to see if they will work for you. And the first technique, again, in the book, these 4 techniques is actually expounded gratefully. So if you have the book, if you have not, I encourage you to get it, because I'm only going to go to the top of it. But again, get the book and it's going to explain it in further depth. So the first technique is categorize your problems by putting them in perspective. Whether defined or not, everyone has within them a broad framework of values and principles that govern their life and knows how to use the right thinking to interpret life experiences. 2, learn to manage your problems by prioritizing and compartmentalizing them in ways that have the most possibility of getting you through them. There may not be a viable solution for every problem you face, but every one of them can be managed positively. 3, Third, remain open to positive ideas and control fears and doubts and thinking they will not happen for you. Fourth, take necessary actions whenever positive ideas come to mind. Never stop believing you can be anything you want to be, go anywhere you want to go, and do anything you want to do. And the last point, it sums it together for me, and it says, people who win over tough situations are those who never stop believing in their ability to overcome. Now, again, those are techniques that can help us face the challenges. Remember, it's not about this step and that step. Well, this person says works for them and what that person works for them. But take the techniques and apply it to you. These are things that she has learned, gained the wisdom out of, and has shared it with all of us so we can tailor-made it to our lives, to our past, to our present, so we can be able to live that successful, winningful lifestyle. And again, none of us can change the situations we face or the people involved, but we can achieve optimal results by learning new ways of how to approach them. And the last thing I want to come out of the Bible, out of the Word of God, which is something we're very familiar with, Galatians 5:7, that reads, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? I heard a powerful statement from my pastor that said, truth stands by itself. You don't need to defend the truth, end quote. And in that, when truth is before us, we have the innate ability of making one of two choices, follow or not. When those situations that I mentioned before, in my experiences, I had a choice. Do I want to accept those thoughts or not? Do I want to accept wanting to find another job because I've done all I know to do and it seems like it's not changing because the situation has not changed? Do I want to follow those familiar people who are comfortable where they're at, but something within me is just not comfortable anymore? Which way do I want to go? Do I want to follow this way or do I want to follow that way? We have a choice. So are two. And truth stands by itself. You don't got to defend it. You don't got to do none of that. It can come to court and defend itself. So you have the keys to your success. Choose the truth of the matter that will get you to the greater and that it will not hold you back in the path of what's familiar, but it will propel you into the greater that you desire. And it gives you the freedom of living it with no limitations, because you have been equipped with the techniques that you need to be able to make it successfully. And so I wanted to end it there and to thank you all for spending this time and this opportunity with us. I am thankful to God for even allowing me to serve and be before you this day. And I want to encourage you, before we end the broadcast, share with somebody about the broadcast, even if it may not be where you're at, but I guarantee you it's where somebody else will need one way or another. And we want to encourage you to specifically join us next Friday. Join us next Friday. Please, you will not be disappointed. You will be encouraged. So again, we thank you. We honor God. We thank God for allowing me to serve before his people this day. So we thank you again for this opportunity, and we just pray that you all will enjoy your weekend, be safe, and be blessed. Thank you. Till next time, be blessed.